and ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Lucky's Pub in Edo for the Carbach Crawford Bach release. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Did we just forget about the rewind? Do we not do that anymore?
Not when I'm out on location.
All right, well, you know what? We need to get that going again. Because that's a shame bell for both you and Jerry Bow.
Hey, I want to make a correction to something I said. Kate Upton doesn't make as much money as Justin Verlander. I was wrong.
Oh, you looked it up?
Aaron looked it up.
She is at a $20 million net worth. He is at a $95 million net worth.
She's at 28, right?
20.
Oh, 20? Oh.
Yeah, that's not good.
God.
All right.
I mean, when are we going to start paying women some real money for looking great? Like, it's just an unfair society when a woman is only worth $20 million for being super, super beautiful.
I mean, you got to like the picture they chose right next to her net worth.
Give me a break. Let's start, you know, women look twice as beautiful for half the pay. That's what the problem is.
I see.
You agree, right? You're for equal pay for equal work?
Well.
Like, name a dude prettier than Kate Upton.
Ryan That's Gosling.
Right. No, disagree. You got another one?
Ryan Reynolds.
No. Kate Upton hotter than Ryan Reynolds.
I don't know. Anyway. It's hour number three, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fauer, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. And of course, you can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you miss the first 2 hours, you miss the rewind. It doesn't seem like it's that hard to have somebody do back in studio. Not say anything, Jerry. Maybe you kick ass at soccer betting, but geez.
I just didn't want to put too much on his shoulders because.
Dude, he's a star. He can handle it.
Yeah, but I'm very meticulous
is
when I do
star,
the rewind.
How many Twitter followers does he have?
Well, don't look at the new one because he's got shut down. The new one's not there yet. The new one is building.
Okay, let's see. Jerry Bow, big star, 376 followers.
Yeah, he had a lot more than that before. Before, hey, we got to free the Z, man. We got to get that guy freed.
Okay.
So, but yeah, he's damn good. You can trust Jerry.
Okay.
If he messes up, I'll tell him.
Okay.
Okay, well, he's not filling in tomorrow, so do we trust Andrew with it?
Well, we're going to trust Andrew with it because what?
Andrew's pretty sharp.
Well, both of them are. I don't understand. You know, listen, you got to let – what was that?
They've got Brad.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just go to Brad
Quit
Powers.
Quit blabbing your face and bring in Brad.
Okay,
bring
fine.
Bring in the talent.
Fine. You and Brad go at it.
Hello, Bradley Powers, star of pregame.com, the number one college basketball analyst in the whole wide world. Brad Powers joins us. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. I don't know about number one in the whole wide world. I mean, you're only as good as your last pick, buddy.
Did you not have Lipscomb last night?
You know what? I had Texas, and I don't think I've had a losing day in 9 days. So, I mean, maybe I can be number one for right now, but that's a temporary title.
I'm right there with you, man. I've had a really good tournament so far, so maybe people should just be kissing our ass completely. Obviously, the Sweet 16 starts off tonight, and let's go game by game, and let me get your thoughts first on this Purdue-Tennessee matchup. I'm tending to lean with Purdue because I just think the Tennessee's had their most problems with physical basketball teams, and I think this Purdue team is as physical as anybody they've seen in SEC play. I don't totally trust Matt Painter, but I don't totally trust Rick Barnes either. So where are you sitting on this Purdue-Tennessee game?
I'm conflicted. I mean, my first gut instinct was to take Purdue. You're right. It's very tough to trust in either coach. And I guess my strongest take is going to be I'm going to sit back, watch it, and look to take advantage and go against either one of these teams in the Elite Eight round, whoever ends up coming away with this one. But as I think about it more, I think there's kind of been an overreaction of Purdue's blowout win over Villanova. I mean, the Big East just stunk. I mean, whether it be the NCAA tournament, the NIT, the Big East was a joke. So Villanova, we could say, I think, a little overrated. On top of that, I think Tennessee, there's been a little bit overreaction to how they performed in the second half. Look, the team got up double digits both games and then fell asleep. I don't think that'll be the case here. Just a slight lean for me on Tennessee.
You know, let me ask you, I mean, the game's, it's a little late, but I'd still love to get your analysis on this Florida State-Gonzaga game, because, I mean, and I don't love laying the number here, especially once it's gotten up to 8 with Gonzaga, but I think maybe people are overblowing the size advantage for Florida State, and Florida State is a big team. They're one of the biggest teams in the country. Gonzaga's not far behind them, and that's a really creative offensive team, maybe one of the best passing offensive teams in the country. What do you think about that game? And honestly, my favorite play on it is the over. I love over 147.5. But what did you think of that side at 8?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Because keep in mind, when Florida State beat Gonzaga last year, Gonzaga was playing without 6'10" Killian Tilly. And yep. Tilly's missed most of this season, but he's back in it. And look, he's not going to move a meter because he's a 7-point-per-game type of guy. But in this type of matchup, he could be one of the more critical components to tonight's game. So that would have me going from a like on Florida State to maybe a lean, because my overriding factor and what I'm worried with the Zags, they haven't played a top 25 team since December 15th. And now you're going to, you know, face a team that's going to have a lot of athleticism, a lot of depth, and some physicality that Gonzaga is not used to seeing here. So to me, that was the overarching factor for me and why I leaned with Florida State. But I didn't necessarily get involved too much heavily when it comes to betting.
Oregon, Virginia tonight. Virginia minus 8.5. I know you have been high on this Oregon team. I tend to think that Virginia, Oregon's defense, what they do the best is make you shoot three-pointers. And unfortunately, Virginia's a top 5 three-point shooting team in the country. It just seems like maybe this Virginia is a bad matchup for Oregon. But what do you think on it?
Well, yeah, I would say season long, Virginia's top 5 and 3, but, I mean, have you been watching them last 3 games or so? And I guess 3 games versus the whole season, but, I mean, to me it looks like, you know, Virginia is, you know, playing a little tight here. I mean, and you're moving arenas constantly, a little bit depth perception, and Oregon's been elite. You don't believe me? I mean, if you just took the last 10 games, Oregon defensively is allowing 54 points per game. That would be number one in the country, not Virginia's scoring defense. And I'm just going to ride the Ducks till I get that loss, because I probably had them on my board and on my ticket in probably 6 of their last 10 games, and they're on there tonight. I just can't lay 8.5 points when your total's sitting at 119. And I just think Oregon, obviously a huge upgrade as far as the power rating goes in the last 3 weeks, but the reality is that I still don't think we might not have upgraded Oregon enough. I mean, they are clearly playing like a top 10 team here in the last 10 games. Now, that's the case. 8.5 is way too many here. Give me the Ducks.
I don't have a lean. I don't have a like. I've got nothing on Texas Tech, Michigan. I mean, these are the number one and number two defenses in the country. The total seems a little bit high given that. But I've seen Tech get hot from three. I've seen Michigan get hot from three over the course of the season. So I don't have a lean on the total. I don't have a lean on the side. Do you have anything solid on this Texas Tech-Michigan game?
All right. So, I mean, you're exactly right. Top two defenses in the country in this game. So, to me, you know, the bigger matchup, I mean, we know that. We got two elite defenses. You have two elite head coaches, Chris Beard and John Beilein. Don't get a credit like a Tom Izzo or a Roy Williams or a Coach K, but these guys, both Chris Beard and John Beilein, top 10 caliber in the country when it comes to coaching. So to me, it comes to the offense side of the ball. And there's two things I think Michigan has, Texas Tech doesn't necessarily have. Texas Tech's got the best player in the game, best scorer in Jared Culver, but Michigan's the more balanced team. So, I mean, if Jared Culver's off a little bit, Texas Tech doesn't have that extra scoring guy that can jump in and fulfill some of those looks there. Michigan does. And another thing, Michigan takes care of the basketball. Fewest amount of turnovers per game, Michigan. So I don't think you're going to be overwhelmed by that, you know, attacking style of defense that Texas Tech comes at you with. So for those reasons, I lean with the Wolverines here, -1.5.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things is while you're right that Jared Culver's the best player on the floor, Xavier Simpson may be the best on-ball defensive guard in the country.
Mm.
And when I looked at it, I was like, God, maybe that's going to give Tech problems. But the number seems right. Everything just seems right on. And that's one of the games that I just want to sit back and watch.
Well, I mean, you're going to have some of those this week. And when you got, I mean, pretty much, I mean, this is probably the best Sweet 16 we've ever had. And it doesn't mean the games are going to be that fun. But from a pure power ratings aspect, if you want the best teams in college basketball, you got them here. I mean, Oregon was the Pac-12 tournament champs and they're as hot as any team in the country. I mean, they're not a Cinderella, even though they're a 12 seed. And you bring up another point. A lot of these lines are going to be right. I mean, if you're asking me power ratings differences, I don't think I have a single game that's really, you know, off more than a point or so. So the lines are going to be extremely tight. They should be this time of year. And you're going to have to go really dive deep into the matchups to find any kind of edges here.
Getting into tomorrow's games, LSU, Michigan State, I'm sure that we're on opposite sides of this one. I'm not crazy about LSU total game, but I do like LSU in the first half plus three. I think once they get into the locker room and make adjustments, I think that coaching disadvantage really comes into play. But I also kind of think Michigan State's overperformed given the injuries that they've got going on and the fact that there's not a lot of star power on this team. There's not a lot of great players on this team outside of Cassius Winston. It just seems like they're grinding this thing out. And if I'm getting 6 points, I kind of lean that way. But especially in the first half when the coaching isn't really going to come into play that much. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I came higher than I expected. I thought I was going to be able to get Michigan State 5 or so. I'm still leaning towards the Spartans again, but I expect the number to be a little shorter. I hear you on the LSU first half. In fact, you know, I don't know if you listened to our podcast we did. Fezzik agrees with you. He's on first half LSU, and he's one of the better derivative bettors in the country. So I think you guys are on to something there. It does worry me the second half adjustments because we've seen LSU squander big leads in each of the first two rounds. Heck, go back to the SEC tournament game against Florida, another squandered lead. So that would concern me. I think if you're going to bet LSU first half, definitely the way to go. I'm on the Michigan State side because generally speaking, I think LSU's overrated. Even if they had Will Wade, I mean, this is a team that's 12-3 in games decided by 5 points or less. I mean, a couple coin flips go against them, and we're not seeing LSU here in this game. And let's be perfectly frank, one of those coin flips was in the last round against an overrated Maryland team, a team that Michigan State had no problems with. So I'll take Sparty here minus 6.
So my favorite play this weekend is Virginia Tech, and I got it at plus 8 the moment it came out. I said all along Virginia Tech's a bad matchup for this Duke team. No one has to shoot. No, one team in the country makes opponents shoot more from three than Virginia Tech. Over 50% of the shots taken against Virginia Tech are from behind the arc, and Duke does not want to play that game. Do you think Zion makes that much of a difference, that he completely changes the way Virginia Tech plays? And what do you think about that number being at 7.5 now?
Oh, it's coming down. I mean, I'm seeing, you know, some 6.5 pop up at a very sharp book like Pinnacle. So you're with the money. I mean, the money's certainly on Virginia Tech here. But it's starting to get to the point where I'm thinking, my goodness, I understand it's a bad matchup for Duke. But let's just go back to a month ago. Duke's at Virginia Tech. Duke's a 3-point road favorite. So on a neutral, Duke would have been around a 7-point favorite. You get 4 points of home court advantage. 3 + 4 = 7. So Duke a month ago, a 7-point favorite over Virginia Tech on a neutral. But in that game, Zion didn't play. I get it. Robinson didn't play with Virginia Tech, but he's worth a point or so. Zion's worth 6 points or so to me, even though we've significantly downgraded Duke in the last month and we've upgraded Virginia Tech. I don't come to that kind of difference there. So I am going to wait tomorrow, but when it's all said and done, I think I'm actually going to talk myself into betting Duke, even though I have a huge ticket saying Duke won't win the national title this year.
I think you and I are fighting on almost every game this week. we should have done a podcast, I guess. The number on UNC Auburn has gone up. It was at 5 for most of the week, now sitting at 5.5 on UNC. I mean, this is going to be a track meet. This total has gone from 160.5 to 165. I think maybe all the value's been sucked out of the total. But what do you see at 5.5 points? And is Auburn the kind of team that can knock off a North Carolina?
Well, I'm concerned little for North Carolina. It hasn't played so, you know, pun intended, little so far in the NCAA tournament. He's their leading scorer for North Carolina. 19.5 points per game. Full season, he's their fourth leading scorer, but it's really coming up big so far. He's got the flu, and he's going to be a game-time decision. That has me worried. I mean, I gave out North Carolina earlier in the week, best bet material for me. I just think, you know, Auburn relies so heavily on the three, and they've been so hot. They've had seven straight games where they've hit at least 12 three-pointers. To me, sooner or later, that's going to come to an end. Everyone's talking, I get it, and the total's going up and up and up, that it's going to be a track meet. I mean, full season tempo, Auburn's just a little bit above average. What are they, like number 158 in tempo? All this talk about, you know, Auburn, you know, like to run it up and down the floor. North Carolina certainly does, but at least full season, Auburn hasn't necessarily played like that. But if they do want to run up and down the floor, I'm all for that. That's North Carolina's game. That's their strength. I still like the Tar Heels, but I'm going to keep an eye on that little situation with him being a game-time decision.
You know, I think you and I we both liked Auburn to win the SEC championship. We both thought that they were a team that could do it, mostly because of their path to it.
Yep.
And now that they've won it, I think maybe you're having to pay a premium on Auburn that you wouldn't have had to pay had they not won the SEC championship.
I think you're exactly right. I think Auburn's a little bit overpriced. Keep in mind, that was a dream path. You and I both predicted it. They crushed Tennessee. They caught Tennessee off playing to the wire game against Kentucky in the semifinals. Auburn was favored in their first three games, despite the fact they were a 5-seed advantage there. And even with all that momentum, I mean, if New Mexico State can hit some foul shots, I get it, Auburn kind of blew the game. But still, New Mexico State hits foul shots. Auburn's going home in the first round. I think Auburn's been overrated in the marketplace.
Well, the last game of the weekend is the game that matters the most in our city here in Houston, and I think it's the game that's got the biggest question mark on it, because to me, if P.J. Washington plays, 2.5 is, or 3, whatever you're getting, is value on Kentucky. And if P.J. Washington is not playing, I want absolutely nothing to do with this game. So what do you think? What have you heard about PJ? Do you expect him to play? This number to me tells me he's doubtful at best. But what do you think of how this game plays out?
Yeah, I mean, he practiced today, but even if he does play, I don't think you're going to get him 100%. You're right. This number says he's more doubtful. You know, we have seen it tick up a half a point. I agree with that. With him, you know, being it was, you know, 2-3 days ago thinking he was going to be out. He gets the cast removed, what, yesterday, playing practices today. So, you know, all that's positive for Kentucky. You know, the one factor I'm concerned with, I get it, Houston beat a good team like LSU early in the season, but, you know, if you're just looking at pure, like, top 20, top 25 competition, since with all due respect to Cincinnati, who obviously flamed out early in the NCAA tournament, I mean, if you're just looking at it, I think Kentucky per Ken Pom has played 15 top 25 teams this year. Houston's played one. So, to me, that disparity in the strength of schedule is good enough for me to lean with Kentucky. But you're right. The P.J. Washington situation, it's tough going all in on this game. Although I do lean with the under here, I do think we get a grinded-out type of game.
All right. That is Brad Powers, at Brad Powers 7 on Twitter. Give him a follow. All the college knowledge, as R.J. would say, one of the best in the game. Appreciate you taking some time for us this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, Brad.
All right, appreciate you guys. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, that's Brad Powers. And listen up, if you own your home, grab your smartphone. Our friends over at TGS, they're about to save you some big dough, man, all without ever talking to an agent. It used to take hours to get a reliable home insurance quote. Well, they've made it a lot easier at TGS Insurance. How about 15 seconds easier? Using nothing but your address, you're going to probably save a bunch of money. Grab your phone and try this out. Text the word money to 232323. System's going to ask for your address. You send that back, you'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And this company, these savings, they are legit. The online rating is nearly perfect. The average customer from last year saved over $825 on average on their home insurance. And you don't even need to wait until your renewal, because TGS is going to take care of the back end, all the paperwork, all the nonsense, so you can just free your mind and start saving money. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today with TGS Insurance.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, if you love fantasy baseball, then you need to be playing best ball on draft. As a matter of fact, I got in one league today, and guess what? Justin Verlander's one of my pitchers. 55 points today. How about that for a start? Listen, this is season-long, but with no management. That's what I love. I don't have to think about it. I got my team now, and what they do is what they do. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players get automatically selected, and you'll get the best score every week, guaranteed. Leagues start every minute, so you can jump in right now. You can jump in tomorrow, whenever you want. And the best part? You're playing for cold, hard cash. And you're going to get paid out the next day. Drafts start from just a dollar, so there's a draft for everyone. Download the app right now. Just search Draft in your app store and play from your computer or on draft.com. And this year they're running a $100,000 best ball championship. Draft the best team, you can win a piece of $100,000 in prizes. It's that easy. Daily fantasy, season-long best ball, they've got you covered with everything. All new players get a free entry into a best ball draft when you make your first deposit and use promo code FRED. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com and come play free with promo code FRED.
You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Lucky's Pub in Edo, for the Carbach Crawford Bach release. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from Lucky's Pub, where the Astros are off to a 1-0 start. Hopefully you got a chance to watch some of that. College basketball going on now. The Zags up on Florida State. So it's tournament time. Purdue up 9-7 on Tennessee. So we got the games right here. So come and check it out. This is one of the premier sports bars in all of Houston. And that makes it one of the premier sports bars in all of America. Because Houston is America. I don't know if you saw this, but Tom Cruise is a Scientologist.
I'm aware.
Apparently he's risen so far in the church, he's now considered a deity.
Oh, boy.
And
have you watched that Leah Remini show?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like obsessed with that show. So I follow this. I follow Scientology.
I would like to be a deity. I just don't want to be one in Scientology.
Okay.
I'd like to be just like a regular deity.
Okay.
Like a Norse deity or, a Greek deity, something like that. But no, in fact, low-ranking members are ordered to watch his films multiple times.
Okay.
I got to tell you, he's got some great work, and I think he's a terrific actor. But All the Right Moves is not deity material. Risky Business, maybe. Mission Impossible series, pretty good. He's got a few, though, that, I'd watch him and go, not a deity.
No.
Yeah.
What about Mission Impossible 7?
Have they done that one yet?
I don't know.
Whichever one they're on.
What was the one where they were settlers out on the Old West and he had that horrible Irish accent that went in and out the entire movie?
I don't know. I don't like Tom Cruise as an actor. I can't take him seriously.
Well,
he's so small.
That was my beef with him being Jack Reacher. I thought he was good, but I love the Jack Reacher books, and Jack Reacher is 6'6".
Oh, they say that in the books?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's part of his character is he's this big,
this Hulk
badass.
Man.
Yeah. So that was a little bit.
I never read the books, and I never watched the movie, so I don't know.
But Risky Business, okay, yeah, that's deity material. Rock of Ages, not so much.
No.
What about Top Gun?
Solid.
War of the Worlds?
No.
Outsiders?
That's pretty good. I like that.
Last Samurai?
No.
No. If they're making those people watch Last Samurai, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Eyes Wide Shut?
That's pretty good, but you don't need to watch it multiple times.
No, and you don't really watch it for him. You watch it for Nicole Kidman naked, basically. The Firm?
The Firm is what happens when you see Nicole Kidman naked.
And, yeah, Vanilla Sky, there's a fail.
Oh, no.
Collateral, there's a fail.
Yeah, bad.
Night and Day.
Bad.
I'm in the minority, but I think Jerry Maguire is awful.
Oh, I don't think it's awful.
Oh, it's a chick movie disguised as a sports movie.
Oh, it's definitely that. I don't think it's awful, though. I mean, you could say the same thing about that Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, except that's a good movie. Jerry Maguire's not.
Okay.
Rain Man, good.
Solid.
Oblivion.
Never seen it.
Fail. I watched it. It was bad. Cocktail.
Overrated.
Cocktail was bad. Minority Report. Bad. Few Good Men. Moment of Silence. That's a gold standard.
Solid.
And he was actually...
What about the... I think his best movie, the vampire movie?
Oh, Interview with the Vampire?
Yeah.
It's up there.
I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily great because of him, but that's a good movie.
It might be my favorite of his. Days of Thunder.
I don't like that.
Far and Away.
I've never seen that.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen that.
Born on the 4th of July was pretty good.
It's okay. Overrated, I say.
The Color of Money.
Overrated, again.
All the Right Moves.
Way overrated.
Taps.
Never seen it.
That was actually pretty good.
Then respect him. Respect his game.
Everything else on here, not good.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with, it depends on what movies.
So can we agree that Tom Cruise, like pre-1995, was way better than post-1995?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody wrote, Tropic Thunder was pretty good, but.
Was that a Tom Cruise movie? Or
no, he was just in that movie.
Yeah.
That was more of a Robert Downey Jr., Ben Stiller movie, yeah. I would say. So, we got basketball going on behind us, in case you couldn't tell.
Behind us. My favorite thing.
Yeah. It's okay. So, he says, Cruise is 5'7". I have a little secret for you. Almost every actor is tiny.
It's true, and it's really odd.
Because even...
Like, I remember when we interviewed Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
On screen, he looks so big.
He's miniature. He looks like a regular grown man, but in real life, he's tiny. I don't know if that's a thing.
Oh, I think it is.
You would think... They'd want male actors who are really big to make the female actors look really small.
You would think. But, you know, no one's calling us to act in a movie. So
that's why, you know, Vince Vaughn looks like a giant in all his movies. He's only 6'5", which, I mean, that's tall for me.
Yeah, that's
but
tall.
That's, you know, y'all aren't much shorter than that.
But my favorite was, I was at the Derby one year, and I'm in the paddock. And I look down, and I see these two wee lads. And
Kevin Spacey.
No, one of them was Dennis Hopper.
He drugged you and made out with you.
No, he did not. That was Bill Cosby. One of them was Dennis Hopper, and one of them was Ashton Kutcher.
Is Ashton Kutcher little?
Yeah.
Oh.
And, I mean, he's a little taller, but not. He's supposed to be 6 feet tall, but, I mean, he came up to, like, my chin.
I didn't know that.
And, they were tiny, man. You're looking at him going, my God.
The more you know.
No, just saying.
According to Google, Ashton Kutcher's 6'2".
Oh, yeah. Right. Right. If he's 6'2", I'm 6'9". Let me just tell you.
Yeah, 69.
Exactly. Well, I picked that number for a reason.
Such a pervert, Fred.
Why do you mean pervert? I'm just making a comment.
Okay.
Why you got to turn it into that? What are you, Gronk? Everything 6'9 is supposed to be dirty? So... 713-780-ESPN. Somebody says Kevin Costner is listed at 6'1 on the Googles. Go look at that picture of us on Facebook of the three of us.
No.
Yeah, there he's 6'1 if he's wearing Kiss boots.
Kevin Costner's like the same height as my 11-year-old son. I mean, it's pretty close.
He's about Palillo's height.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, my son has bigger feet than Palillo. We've discussed that.
So
Charlie Palillo's an adult man with size 7.5 shoes, which I didn't even think existed in nature, but there he is.
Yeah, there you go. 713-780-ESPN. Ike says, I thought Collateral was great, including Tom Cruise's performance. I that movie didn't do much for me. I've seen almost all his movies. He does have some movies I really like. That one, not so much. But at least we know he's a deity.
That's true. And congratulations to him on that accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, I have tried very hard to become a deity, but it's not going to happen for me.
You never know.
Yeah.
Get with the right religion, Fred.
Well, maybe if I start my own religion, if I start the First Church of the Degenerate Order, I could be a deity.
Yeah.
How's your basketball going? 25-17 Zags, and...
I'd like to see a little more scoring in that one.
Oh, yeah, overing?
Yeah.
And Purdue-Tennessee tied at 13.
I'll take that. But I do like Zags covering. Okay. All right, guys, got to tell you about Tri Eagle Energy. There's a lot of different energy providers out there, and there's always different offers, ranging from free weekends, free days, cash bonuses. The list goes on and on and on. And you may have fallen for one of these offers, or months later found out I'm paying a higher rate, or there's additional fees being tacked on my bill. What's going on with that? Doesn't happen at Tri Eagle. They keep it simple. The rate you see is the rate you pay. There's no gimmicks. There's no minimum usage fees. There's no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. That's not how Tri Eagle works. It's good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. Give them a call today. See what they can do for you. 877-93-EAGLE or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064 for TriEagle Energy.
We represent the Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. And in the name of the Lollipop Guild, we wish to welcome you to Munchkinland.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Lucky's Pub in Edo, for the Carbach Crawford Bach release. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, one last segment, and this one flew by, but we were also watching baseball for the first half of it, so I guess that explains it. I want to thank Carbach for getting us out here to Lucky's Pub, which is one of my favorite places. And I want to thank Lucky's for having us here. I'm a little biased, but I think this little stretch of East Downtown is the most happening place in the city now, with all the stuff that's down here, basically down St. Emmanuel. And if you haven't had a chance to get down here and hang out, you should. There's something for everybody. You know, unless you're like a, you know, weirdo.
Or homeless.
Well, yeah, you know, there's not really a place for the homeless.
You know what? I gave a tease earlier, and I didn't pay it off on Lance with a homeless guy in our parking lot at the office.
Well, we got a Hoffman on Hollywood to do, though. So
okay, well, it can wait a minute.
Okay.
Well, so I get to the office, and Lance is about to be heading out. And, you know, we hadn't talked in a while because he's been in L.A. And we were chatting for a minute, and then as we're chatting, a homeless guy walks up, and Lance had said that he'd saw this guy.
In the station?
No, like outside the station.
Oh, okay.
Like in the parking lot.
Because there's not really a lot of homeless in that area.
No, but this is in the parking lot.
Okay.
And the guy, Lance had apparently seen him pull an iced tea out of the trash can and drink it.
Oh, no, really?
And Lance, let's face it, Lance is a good and fair man.
Yeah.
And he gave the guy $5. And the guy instantly started talking to him about conspiracy theories and...
Oh, geez.
Blowing up libraries and...
Oh, great.
I walked right away. Lance was like, dude, why'd you bail on me? And I was like, I didn't want to interrupt you and your buddy. I felt like you guys were having a heartfelt conversation. By the way, the guy ended up walking into our building. I don't know what happened beyond that, but that did happen.
He now lives there.
Yeah, he does.
Jeez,
he lives in
wonderful.
He lives in the bathroom.
Well, in the old days, I wouldn't have given him $5, but I would have walked down to Subway and got him a sandwich and something
Subway's
to drink.
Gone now.
But Subway's gone.
Lance gave him $5 and said, I want you to spend this on a conspiracy theory website subscription, maybe even like an Alex Jones oven mitt, just in case.
The frogs are gay!
Yeah, just in case you ever need something that's, you know, Alex Jones branded, you'll be able to have it. Here's $5. That's exactly what Lance said to him with his eyes.
I don't ever give homeless people money, but I will buy them food.
Okay.
So.
How much time do we have, Aaron? 2 minutes? Well, I'll tell you about our boy, Jussie Smollett, who I know is your favorite right now, Fred.
Hope he dies.
His lawyer has made a suggestion. Tina Glandian, on his recollection of the attackers, believed to be the Osundero brothers, the guys who, you know, it's pretty widely known. These are the guys who committed this crime.
He hired them.
He hired them.
Yeah.
They are his acquaintances. They're Nigerian. But Smollett told police that his attackers had white or pale skin, and his lawyer says that it's not implausible that the brothers were wearing makeup to make them look white. That's not out of the question, and it can't be ruled out. I almost, like, you know how many brothers I see walking around in whiteface? I'm going to be honest, and granted, I don't live in Chicago, you know, but here in Houston, I don't see much of that. I really don't. So I'm not going to say it's not, I would say it's not impossible, but it seems really, really unlikely, doesn't it?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Whether they were wearing whiteface or not, he hired them to beat him up?
No, he's saying he's still denying that he hired them.
Oh, he's lying through his bleeping teeth.
Fred, shame.
You don't know that, Fred, and it's really, honestly, if you're accusing him, that to me seems a little bit racist of you.
Okay, fine.
But you are sitting here at Lucky's Pub in blackface, and you're comfortable with it. So that's...
It's brown face, not fair.
Right, that's true. But still. I think you'll be
representing
about
the other
this.
Half of my... yeah.
There's a movie coming out called The Dead Don't Die.
Okay.
And this is the cast. Bill Murray, Iggy Pop, Tom Waits, The RZA, Adam Driver, Chloe Sevigny, and Selena Gomez. It's a zombie movie.
Okay, we don't have enough of those.
Are you excited about this?
No.
Steve Buscemi, Danny Glover.
Look, I like the cast, but I'm out on zombie movie. I'll watch Zombieland 2 because I love the first one. But I don't need to see another zombie movie. There's nothing new to be done.
Even if it's got Bill Murray in it.
Bill Murray was in Zombieland.
And he's in this one.
Well,
he's a star of this one.
Well, he already did his bit. So, no, not interested.
You're out on it.
Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing to hear.
When they do one called The Walking Fred, I'll be interested.
Well, we've got 1 minute left, so I'm not going to get into anything else. But that is Hoffman on Hollywood. Sorry I told the Lance Holmes story, but I wanted to get
that
out.
Well, that's kind of a Hollywood story.
Yeah, Lance is, he's been in L.A. He's right. Super Hollywood now.
So, yeah, you could have played the music.
Yeah, Hollywood Lance gave $5 to a hobo who thinks that the library's going to blow up.
All right, well... I want to thank everybody for coming out and really, really love being down here. So tomorrow,
you love it because you can walk home.
I can walk home, yes.
I hope a homeless doesn't get you.
I'm fine. It's not nearly as bad as you think.
Well, someone told me on the internet.
Yeah, I know, but it's not my side of,
oh, okay.
Of East Downtown. All right, before we go, though, thanks everybody for coming out. Thanks to Lucky's. Thanks to Carbach. Tomorrow will be...
Thanks to the Astros for winning the baseball match.
Yep, making it easy on us. And... tomorrow, come join us at Twin Peaks in the Woodlands.
I think
actually
you mean Shenandoah. Thank you.
I'm not falling into that trap.
It's there. You're in it. All right, guys. Let's say you're looking to buy a motorcycle, and you want to buy a motorcycle from the absolute best store in the world that you can buy a motorcycle from. It's Republic Harley Davidson. Get down there, see why they're Houston's number one dealer. They've got over 200 bikes in inventory. They've got the best customer service rating. They've got a friendly, reliable, experienced, well-trained staff, and they've got great specials going right now. If you're a qualified customer, you can get 0.99% APR and zero down financing on 2019 Softail and Touring models right now. 75% off licensed Harley-Davidson merchandise in the motor clothes department. There's something for everyone, guys. Bike night. Remember this. These bike nights are an awesome time. If you didn't go to any last year, get out there. Check them out. They're awesome. Saturday, March 30th from 6 to 9, stop by, get some free food from Fuddruckers, some live music by the Hydroponics, door prizes, and demo rides. And come see why Republic's basically Houston's number one Harley dealer. That's it. Stop in and visit them. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, are always open at republichd.com. That's Republic Harley Davidson.
With the hands of uncertainty.
ESPN 97.5.